Only the purified soul can attain the perfection of associating with the personality of Godhead in complete bliss and satisfaction in his constitutional state. Whoever is able to renovate such devotional perfection is never again attracted by this material world, and he never returns. So if you excuse me, I'm going to comment from here. Om Agyana Timrandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ammalitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So I wanted to perhaps just focus on a couple of things from this verse before we go into the purport, and I'll do paragraph by paragraph and comment as we go. It's a very wonderful purport, as all Srila Prabhupada's purports are. So I wanted to kind of just maybe, from my perception, highlight on a couple of things that came to me while reading them. So this verse is kind of a continuation of a string of verses, and it's referring to the previous verse. And if I may just conclude the previous verse, it was talking about someone who was Vijnana Tattvam Guna Sanaridodam. In other words, they had attained Vijnana Tattvam, perfect knowledge of the truth. And they had completely suspended their existence from the modes of material nature. So it's talking about that person, that purified soul. And also the word atmana, atmanam, it means by the self, by the self. So in the Bhagavad Gita is also a verse that you purify yourself by yourself. In other words, it's in your own hands, in other words, how you progress. This is a self-conscious, deliberate attempt at perfection. And I also want to refer to, because the previous verses were very technical, you would say, and not something that we would really understand, well, how would you do something like that? How would you merge this with this? How would you merge that with that? It's worth noting or remembering that these are souls or entities who are now in Brahmaloka, Satyaloka. So they're not bereft of tutorship. They haven't got there at a whim. They've got there out of deep training and absorption and technical abilities in the perfection of yoga. And so the technical methods that we described, we may not know how can we assimilate that, how can we relate with that. But they were not, again, they were in Brahmaloka. So they had full ability to be trained how to attain those things. I also want to make a reference here, because in previously described how in Brahmaloka there's no death, but yet they died. So how do you rationalize that? Well, my understanding is that this is called Marchaloka, where we are, because we see death all around us. You don't have to walk outside very far before you see something dead. Death is like saturated with our whole existence. So we see death all around. Whereas in Brahmaloka, you go there, you don't see anyone dying. But there for a very long time. But eventually, when Brahma goes, everyone's going to pass on. So these are already purified souls. But still, is described here, the attraction for the material world they still could be attracted to the material world because they haven't quite attained perfection. So what I find this interesting here, and probably use the word supersoul, that when you purify your soul further, you don't find that you're alone. You find the super soul is there. And it's manifested by, well, there's a path of devotion. So I found that interesting. And he probably talks about some of the words in the purports, we'll go there. But another word I wanted to particularly bring attention to, and Prabhupada used the word, whoever is able to renovate such devotional perfection. Now, when you talk about renovation, you're talking about putting something back how it was. So time and time again, Srila Prabhupada is restating this idea, this reality, that we were with Krishna in devotional service, and now the process we're on is about reestablishing it, renovating it back to how it was. It's something that is part of our very existence. In fact, this word here is there Ananda Maya. It's a natural part of our constitution. So I wanted just to highlight those particular points. Now the purport. Srila Prabhupada. We should specially note in this verse the description of Gatim Bhagavatim. To become merged in the rays of the Parabrahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as desired by the Brahmavadi impersonalist, is not Bhagavatim perfection. The Bhagavatas never accept merging in the impersonal rays of the Lord, but always aspire after personal association with the Supreme Lord in one of the Vaikuntha spiritual planets in the spiritual sky. The whole of the spiritual sky, of which the total number of the material skies is only an insignificant part, is full of unlimited numbers of Vaikuntha planets. The destination of the devotee, the Bhagavata, is to enter into one of the Vaikuntha planets, in each of which the personality of Godhead, in his unlimited personal expansions, enjoys himself in the association of unlimited numbers of pure devotee associates. The conditioned souls in the material world, after gaining emancipation by devotional service, are promoted to these planets. But the number of ever-liberated souls is far, far greater than the number of conditioned souls in the material world. And the ever-liberated souls in the Vaikuntha planets can never, never care to visit this miserable material world. This is the first paragraph of six paragraphs. So I wanted to perhaps highlight a couple of things here, which is interesting. And I probably use the word Brahmavadi. And so there's Brahmavadis, and we hear Mayavadis. Well, what's the difference? And interestingly enough, there is one verse, one little conversation, where this is specifically asked of Srila Prabhupada. What's the difference between a Mayavadi and a Brahmavadi? A Mayavadi is thinking that everything is Maya. Even Krishna is Maya. That's what a Mayavadi is thinking. And Prabhupada points out that 99% of those who are impersonalists are Mayavadis. That's what they're thinking. But there are some who are not thinking like that. And actually, if I use Prabhupada's words, if you ever looked at it, you'll find this. It's a conversation. It's a morning walk. And some of the devotees mentioned is Madhudvisa and Trivikram. And so the Brahmavadi is thinking, to merge into the Brahman effulgence is better than to keep our personal identity. That's their kind of mindset. They're not thinking that Krishna is Maya, but they're just thinking, well, I'd like to merge into the impersonal Brahman. That's what they're thinking. Or a Brahmavadi could be someone who hasn't made his mind up yet. So there's a slight distinction there, but most people you meet will be Mayavadis. If you start, you know, honing down into it, they're going to start talking about everything's Maya and Krishna's Maya. But here, what this verse is pointing out, that in the Bhagavatam brings to that point all the time. In fact, previously to this, this particular reference here, there's at least four or five different descriptions of devotees practicing and thinking about the form of the Lord. One of the earliest verses in the first chapter of this canto talks about the chanting Hari Nam Anukirtanam, that you just chant the names of Hari. And it doesn't matter whether you have desires or no desires or whatever, you just chant the names of the Lord. It's a very, very generic, very liberal way to somehow or other chant the names of the Lord. And then we hear those, another process is where people sit in a certain way, you breathe in a certain way, you control your life affairs, you meditate. Again, you meditate on Vishnu. Then we heard extensively how you can think of Vishnu, Krishna, the form of the Lord through the whole universe. And then we hear particularly about another process where the complete description of what Vishnu looks like in your heart is there. His size, 8 inches tall. Maybe it's relative to the size of your body, but 8 inches described there. And what he's wearing on his feet, his clothing, the bodice around his waist, his beautiful face, his hair. That picture is given in great detail. So again, you're thinking, this is the target. We're looking at the Supreme Personality of Godhead. the form of the Lord. It's quite clear. The target is the form of the Lord, and to head towards in that direction. And now here, with this systematic approach of shedding off all these material conceptions, this merging into that, again, you come to the point. So when you're perfect, when you've shed off all these material coverings, what happens next? And there it is. You're not alone. You haven't suddenly realized, oh, it's just me. It's only me in this whole existence. No. You see Krishna. And now Prabhupada describing in great detail that it's not just you and Krishna. There's an unlimited realm of existence. Now, we can't even imagine the term unlimited. We find this material world that we're living in, by the word iha, this verse means here, what we can see, what we're around us. We can't even conceive of this material world. We can't even conceive of how do you assimilate all the planets. We can't even conceive of this earth, what to speak of all the planets. This is one universe. And there's millions and billions of universes in this kind of material realm. We can't even conceive of that. And this is like one little insignificant part of the total reality. And in the spiritual realm, there's unlimited Vaikuntha planets, where this form of the Lord is there unlimitedly. So the devotees, they don't aspire to blend into the impersonal ray. In fact, either Brahma-Jyoti. Okay, we'll come to the next paragraph. So the devotees, they're aware of this existence, unlimited places, unlimited forms of the Lord, with unlimited devotees, enjoying each other in each other's association. I'll go to the next paragraph. The impersonalists who aspire to merge in the impersonal Brahma-Jyoti effulgence of the Supreme Lord, but have no conception of loving devotional service to Him in His personal form, in the spiritual manifestation, may be compared to certain species of fish who, being born in the rivers and rivulets, migrate to the great ocean. They cannot stay in the ocean indefinitely, for their urge for sense gratification brings them back to the rivers and streams to spawn. Similarly, when the materialist becomes frustrated in his attempts to enjoy himself in the limited material world, he may seek impersonal liberation by merging either with the causal ocean or with the impersonal Brahma-Jyoti effulgence. However, as neither the causal ocean nor the impersonal Brahma-Jyoti effulgence affords any superior substitute for association and engagement of the senses, the impersonalist will fall again into the limited material world to become entangled once more in the wheel of births and deaths, drawn on by the inextinguishable desire for sensual engagement. But any devotee who enters the kingdom of God by transcendental engagement of his senses in devotional service and who associates with the liberated souls and the personality of Godhead there will never be attracted to the limited surroundings of the material world. Again, this is the second paragraph. There's four more. So again, a very very powerful imagery. If anyone's ever been to Scotland, we have some Scottish gentlemen here, and they have the rivers. And at some point in the rivers, when they're very steep, they've got waterfall, they have these little kind of stepping ponds. And they made it that way so the fish can return to their spawning ground at the top of the river to mate and have their babies or have their lay their eggs. They have to go back there, so these salmon, they leave that area, they go down to the sea, they spend some time in the sea, but this urge to go back is there. So the living entity, the soul, has these senses, and it's described here again in the verse that it's part of our very existence to have this. It's natural. We have these senses, these spiritual senses, that are yearning for fulfillment in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. So if those senses are not being satisfied, then you can't say, you fall down again. So the impersonalists, because their spiritual senses are not being nourished and satisfied, they can't stay there because they're not feeling fulfilled. They're not feeling. Okay, we'll come to that in the next one. Next chapter, next paragraph. In the Bhagavad Gita 8:15, also the same is confirmed as the Lord says, the Mahatmas or the Bhakti Yogis, after attaining my association, never come back to this material world, which is full of miseries and is non-permanent. The highest perfection of life, therefore, is to attain his association and nothing else. The Bhakti Yogi, being completely engaged in the Lord's service, has no attraction for any other process of liberation like jnana or yoga. A pure devotee is a 100% devotee of the Lord and nothing more. This is 8:15. I'm sure you scholars will know this verse. Mamu pecha punarjanma dukhalyam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmanaha samsidim paramam gata. So it starts off me achieving me, again birth. That's kind of the opening. That's interesting. Why achieving me, you attain birth? Dukhalyam ashashvatam. This material world is full of suffering and it's non-permanent. Everything's changing all the time. But never attain. The Mahatmas never attain that. They don't attain birth again. They don't go back to this material world of suffering and temporariness. Samsidim paramam gatam, because they've achieved the highest perfection is to attain Krishna. So Prabhupada's quoting this to confirm that what's been mentioned about them here. There's a kind of a like cross-referencing to show again that perfection is not just to become free from the more than material nature. Perfection is to attain Krishna. So the devotees are always aspiring. This word aspiring comes up a number of times this verse. The devotees aspire for perfection. The impersonalists who aspire to merge. So the impersonalists, it's interesting here that this material was described as an inextinguishable desire. You cannot extinguish your desires in the material world by enjoying your desires. You will never extinguish them that way. But only when you become saturated in your service to Krishna will you find that satisfaction. Next paragraph. We should further note in this verse the two words shantam and anandam, which denote that devotional service of the Lord can really bestow upon the devotee two important benedictions, namely peace and satisfaction. The impersonalist desires of becoming one with the Supreme, or in other words, he wants to become the Supreme. This is a myth only. The mystic yogis become encumbered by various mystic powers and so have neither peace nor satisfaction. So neither the impersonalist nor the yogi can have real peace and satisfaction, but the devotee can become fully peaceful and satisfied because of his association with the complete whole. Therefore, merging in the absolute or attaining some mystic powers has no attraction for the devotee. The devotee wants simply is aspiring to be with Krishna. And imagine the idea that you're God. How can you be peaceful thinking you're God when you know it's not true? It's a myth. The idea you've become God. Do people really believe they're God? Does anyone really believe? If they really analyze it truthfully, do they really believe they're God? So it's a myth. It's a distraction. And imagine, he said, the yogi is encumbered by various mystic powers. Imagine you had all these mystic powers. Would you feel peaceful? Would you feel anxious? I think the point here that having these mystic powers doesn't make you peaceful, doesn't give you satisfaction. We're looking for peace. Our minds are racing all the time. We want to find peace. And we're not satisfied with anything. We're always looking for the next thing. But when we arrive at this place spiritually, when we get free from all the modes of material nature, when we're there in our association with Krishna, then you find the actual sense of satisfaction and peace, because we're now actually in our constitutional position, which is in that relationship with Krishna. Jivera Sriphoi Krishnera Nityadas. Next paragraph. Attainment of love of Godhead means complete freedom from all other attractions. The conditioned soul has many aspirations, such as becoming a religious man, dharma, a rich man, artha, a first-class enjoyer, karma, or becoming God himself, moksha, or becoming powerful like the mystics and acting wonderfully by getting anything and doing anything. But all these aspirations should be rejected by the prospective devotee who actually wants to revive his dormant love of God. The impure devotee aspires after all of the above-mentioned material things by perfection of devotion. But a pure devotee has none of the tinges of the above contaminations, which are the influence of material desires, impersonal speculations, and attainments of mystic powers. One can attain the stage of love of God by pure devotional service or by a learned labor of love for the sake of the devotee's lovable object, the personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada is pointing out here, well, what do you want? What do you want to achieve as a practitioner of devotional service? Sometimes, because it's interesting that we quoted at the beginning this verse, Hare Nam Anukirtanam, and that's talking about whether you've got desires or no material desires, just simply chant Krishna's names. Well, that's good. By the perfection of my chanting, I'll be able to get all my material desires fulfilled. But Prabhupada is saying, well, that's not very good. The conditioned soul has many aspirations. So there's a sign of being a conditioned soul. You want these things again. Imagine you were offered. Here, you've got a choice here. I'm going to give you can have this. And by this, you can have anything that you want and go anywhere you like. Anyone interested in that? We have more work to do on the path of pure devotional service. This is what Prabhupada is saying here. But, so the impure devotee aspires after all the above-mentioned material things. You want to become famous as a religionist. You want to become rich in this world. You want to associate with... we want to enjoy like anything, and we want to become God. Or we want to have a lot of mystical power so we can bamboozle other people and bamboozle ourselves. But one can attain the stage of love of God by pure devotional service or by a learned labor of love for the sake of the devotee's lovable order. In other words, you're doing things simply for the aspiration of pleasing Krishna, a learned labor of love. We're hear this oftentimes in this period of the year where we talk about the marathon, people giving out books. It's a labor of love. We're learning about it. It's important to do, and we're doing it for the love of Krishna. The last paragraph. To be more clear, if one wants to attain the stage of love of Godhead, he must give up all desires for material enjoyment. He should refrain from worshipping any other demigods, and he should devote himself only to the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He must give up the foolish idea of becoming one with the Lord and the desire to have some wonderful powers just to get the ephemeral adoration of the world. The pure devotee is only favorably engaged in the service of the Lord without any hope of emolument. This will bring about the love of Godhead, or the stage of Shantam Anandam, as stated in this verse. So, without any hope of emolument. Now, emolument is when, what I read is, in the olden days, if you were a miller, and some farmer would bring their grains to you, you'd keep a percentage. You'd take your share of the grains as your payment. So, a pure devotee is not hoping for anything in return. He doesn't want anything. He's not hoping, well, if I engage in devotional service, all my material desires will be fulfilled. That's the preliminary devotee. There's some practitioner devotees we may have those aspirations. But the pure devotee is only favorably engaged in this. And what Prabhupada's pointing out, this is the recipe for love of Godhead. That's how you get love of Godhead. When you only engage in the service of the Lord and you go off no material aspirations, then you'll actually feel that shantam, that peacefulness, and that blissfulness. When you're no longer aspiring for material enjoyments, but you simply want to serve Krishna, then you actually find real peace and real bliss. And this is what this verse is all about. I find it interesting, this is the second canto, part one. You may notice on the Prabhupada's altar there, they've got the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, part three. And this volume, second canto, part one, and third, first canto, part three, were books that Srila Prabhupada recommended giving out on book distribution. And it's interesting, I remember getting this book, must have been about, I don't know, must have been 1979? I got this book. My first book I got from Mother Jagatam. It was The Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. And then she also signed me up to this three free BTGs. Did three BTGs, specially printed, and you got like a trial subscription. So I remember getting them the following months. And the next devotee I met, after I met Mother Jagatam, because she's such a saintly person, then I was aspiring, because I was on the path of looking for something, and then when I met the devotee, I met Mother Jagatam, I realized this is the path. So I started the process, you could say, I recognized then the path of devotional service began by that book and that meeting that devotee. So when I was stationed as a Marine at the time in Plymouth, and so I was looking for the devotees, and then I saw a commotion, and Hari Kirtan was there, and there were other devotees there giving out books. And I think I approached Hari Kirtan, because first of all, he was a bit surprised that I approached him. And he gave me one book, I can't remember which one it was, and I gave him a donation, and I wanted to give him, in my mind I was thinking I should give him 20 quid, but I gave him 10, and I felt a bit stingy. Anyway, he piled up another two books. He gave me the first canto, part three, and the second canto part one, and the first canto part three, and he gave me The Science of Self-Realization. And I remember the three books, The Science of Self-Realization was the easiest to read. And I wasn't quite sure how to assimilate this book. This book is about pure devotional service. It's talking about pure love of Krishna, all the technical parts of it. But I do remember, even if I read all the books, some sentences really triggered something. They stirred something within me. So that's the magic about these books. Maybe the vast majority of it goes right over people's heads. But there'll be some sentences in there that triggers something in that person that drives them on. It creates a thirst for more knowledge. So somehow or other, this book, this highly scholarly book about taking people to the highest realms of spiritual thought and concentration and devotion, Prabhupada is saying, give it out on the streets to give it to the people who've got no knowledge about Krishna consciousness. A little Sangatan remembrance. About 6 years ago, 2015, I was in Scotland, and they had loads of these sets of Bhagavatams that they had surplus. I think they bought in stock, they bought a huge supply of them, the warehouse was full of them, and they cost about £1 each. So that was like one of the main books that we were giving out. So we used to get, I and this lid devotee would get a whole set of Bhagavatams. And because they had so many of these books, that was what we're giving out. So we get a set of Bhagavatams and then lay them out from, you know, first canto part one all the way through to Krishna book part three, because that was the nine cantos were all the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then the tenth canto was parts one, two, and three of the Krishna book. So we'd lay them all out. And then while we're, you know, this is about yoga, meditation, we give everyone give them a Bhagavatam. And eventually, you're going to get to the fifth canto, which is the cosmology and the hellish planets. So I felt a little awkward telling people this is about yoga and meditation, giving someone the recitation of the fifth canto. Anyway, so this book, first canto, second canto, part one, was one of the books recommended by Srila Prabhupada for mass distribution. And that's why we have the first canto, part three there. Okay, that's why my comments on this verse and purport. If anyone has any illumination they want to share, or anything I may have missed out, or any questions, very happy to. Prabhu.
Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Nice to see you, Prabhu. It's so long time. There's one question in you mentioned in, I think it's in the third paragraph, that either one merges into causal ocean or Brahmajyoti. It's an interesting point. What is that like a causal ocean? Is that something like you're not really yet eligible for Brahmajyoti, but you get some light from the, or some, how is that?
Well, the Brahmajyoti is, my understanding is, it's Krishna's effulgence, the effulgence of Krishna. And the causal ocean is, because all the Vaikuntha planets, the causal ocean is where Mahavishnu lies down. He seems to like lying in oceans. So he lies down in that ocean, and that's where all the mature universes spring out. So what is the technical difference? I think as far as I know, this is the only place where I've come across that Prabhupada links these two things together. We often hear about people merging into the impersonal Brahmajyoti. Here he's saying causal ocean or the impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence.
I guess it's kind of like a border or something. Also, it's mentioned that it's not really water in his, subtle sense. It's a phenomenal. Maybe you can find the water there also at some point. But it's like an ocean of air, Prabhupada sometimes mentioned, like some space between the each universe, which rays of Brahmajyoti still penetrate in that realm. So you kind of merge there because it's also part of Brahmajyoti, but not full on or something.
It's a transcendental realm, but it's also interesting that you may go there and merge into it, but it's not just one realm. The choice of two, in a sense. So you might think you're there on your own, but there's other people in another part in a different kind of merging, and they're also in a different kind of merging state. But both are unsatisfying because there's no direct relationship with the Lord, and you're going to leave either way.
Thank you for your analytic class. My question is, as you mentioned, there's certain parts of the Bhagavatam Prabhupada particularly wanted people to distribute. Another example is the sixth canto, part one. Now, I don't know exactly what its situation is now, but I've noticed that it's hard to isolate cantos and sort of go out with a bag of certain cantos because they generally print them all as one. I don't know if it's changed now or not, but I just wanted to know what your thoughts on that are. If someone wants to distribute certain cantos that Prabhupada wanted distributed, it's kind of difficult to do it unless the BBT are actually going to print that particular canto en masse, you know. And I know that, I don't know what the situation is now, but previously, last time I looked into it, it just wasn't an option to actually get individual cantos.
Well, I spoke to this issue recently. This topic came up. And the book that they have in our local BBT warehouse is based on what the Sangatan devotees request. So they did have first, second canto, part one, and they have first canto. They still now have first canto, part three. That's why you see it there. If they had second canto, part one, you would have that as well there. I don't think they said they have any sixth canto, part one, which you highlighted. So it's up to the Sangatan leaders to select what they want, and they print them. Sometimes they have great aspirations. For example, many years ago, they printed like 40,000 Your Ever Well Wishes, and there's still 4,000 or so in the warehouse. So sometimes people, the Sangatan leaders, aspire to give out something, and then they don't, as a mass of the UK, they don't give it out. So it's left in the warehouse for a while. So there are some books like that still. But if somebody wants to give out Six Canto Part 1, then lobby your Sangatan leader, and the man of the Sangatan leader is very potent, and if he says we want 25,000 printed, then BBT will print them, but then you've got to give them out. Because obviously you don't just print one or two, because there's obviously a cost factor, so they want to print a lot to bring the cost down. Interesting enough, Tidikshu also told me that right now there's like an 8-month waiting list to print books. He said because Amazon are buying up all the printing or enlisting all the printing mills for printing cardboard, then it's very hard to get printing mills to print books. So there's a huge global problem with book printing. And so that's why the Bhagavad Gita's run out. you try to go to the warehouse now and try to get Bhagavad-gita, there's none left unless you want the vinyl ones, because they couldn't get the printing because of all this huge global backlog because of Amazon's purchasing power. Any other points or questions? Okay, sorry, Srinivas.
You were in the Marines for how long? Who's asking?
4 years. I joined as a junior Marine and I left when I was 21.
Okay. And after reading Prabhupada's books, being in the Marine, what was your difference of experience?
I became a Hare Krishna when I was in the Marines. So I had to change my diet. I had to only choose the vegetarian options. And I eventually left. I was invited by Dhanavir in Scotland at the time to leave the Marines. I was in for 9 years, but he asked me to leave the Marines and help him with a farm community in Scotland. So that was my aspiration to do that. But then things changed managerially in the UK, and I ended up living in Scotland and like that. So I was able to... sales points that was myself and another military person when we were visiting Socky Hall Street at that time. We were quoted that Prabhupada said, if you can't be a devotee, join the army, something like that. There's some kind of statement like that they use as a tool. Did that answer your question? Did I hear your question right?
And after joining, you got someone to guide you on the path, or you just read Prabhupada's books and that was it?
No, what was interesting, the words of the devotees is very powerful, actually. So when I met Mother Jagatam, she gave some reassuring words. My life was a bit troubled then, so she gave reassuring words, said, "Don't worry, Krishna will look after you." That carried me forward. Meeting her, a saintly devotee, Prabhupada's books, with hope in Krishna, gave me hope in Krishna's going to look after me. When I met Hari Kirtan, Prabhu, he said, "It's worth everything to visit the temple." So I thought, okay, I'm going to make a plan now to visit the temple. So I was stationed in Plymouth at the time. I got a train from Plymouth to central London, and I happened to go there on Lorna Shingera's appearance day. And Jiva Parvana was reading the whole Bhagavatam chapter dealing with Lorna Shingera. So somehow I just sat there listening to the whole thing. And then the evening concluded with this rip-roaring 7 o'clock Aarti Kirtan, and that kind of resonated in my mind. So it was the book, but more importantly, I would say, it was meeting the devotee who set me on a trajectory to meet more devotees. And then from going to Saw Street, and again, I went to Saw Street again, I met Rohinandan, I was going to Scotland. He said, okay, there's a temple in Socky Hall Street. So then it went from there. So the books was, you could say, it was there, but the devotees brought it alive because they were living that book. And their guidance was, go to the temple, meet more devotees, and that's what you do. This is what this devotional service is. That's why the impersonators are not happy, because they haven't got this association with the Bhagavatas. You're not fulfilled as a living entity unless you have the association of the Bhagavatas. So when you meet the Bhagavatas, those who are engaging in devotional service, then you feel fulfilled. So that was the kind of crystallization of a spiritual path, devotional service and with the devotees. So it's the books and what the books say. But sometimes you can't always, for example, you read the book and it tells you how to chant, you tell chant Hare Krishna, it doesn't tell you, at least then it didn't tell you how to chant Hare Krishna. So I was spending 20 minutes chanting Hare Krishna mantra using matchsticks. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. But we meet devotees immediately. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. You know, you're taught, so you need definitely the association of devotees. But the books, you need someone to unpack. This is like, for example, I was referring to this technical of merging this with this and this with. How can you assimilate what that means? That if you need a teacher, someone who's done it, knows it, and they can unpack it. So we must have the association of devotees to unpack the secrets of these books. Lita Saki, David Dassey.
By listening to this conversation, I'm thinking, it appears that your desires are more fulfilled in the beginning of your Krishna consciousness than after 10 or 15, 20 years. And the mind gives more trouble, you know, after few experiences in Krishna consciousness than when you first meet devotees, get the association, you're ecstatic, you love everything, and, you know. So what is the reason, what, you know?
Well, everyone talks about this free sample. But actually, I think at that time it's all fresh. But as you develop your Krishna consciousness, you see the work to be done. And just like, you know, you have to make a choice. Are you aspiring for a personal association with the Supreme Lord? Is that really what you're aspiring for? Krishna's not going to take away your independence, whatever you want. I mean, he says when you go back there, you're not going to come back. You're no longer going to be attracted to the material world. But as long as you're attracted to some of these things, do you want to be religious? Do you want to be rich? Do you want to enjoy something? Do you want to have some? He'll always fulfill it. So, therefore, we always have to be kind of honing our aspirations. So, actually, no, I don't want any material enjoyment. I simply want to have the association with Krishna. So, if we're not aspiring and driving hard for that, then we're desiring our material things, and therefore we'll be experiencing the reciprocation by Krishna of him fulfilling those material things, and therefore we won't feel satisfied and we won't feel bliss. So, but when we're really focusing down deep and absorbing ourselves in the science of Krishna consciousness, we have to feel blissful. If we're not feeling blissful, it's because we're sneaking in a lot of desires along the way, and therefore we can't. They're inextinguishable. We never extinguish them by having them. It's only when we turn up again and refocus our attention on pure devotional service that we actually find.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll stop there. Sorry, David, we have 1 minute left.
Just 1 minute.
Are you still David? Okay, Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. There was a question I had about the Mayavadis and the Brahmavadis. I was wondering, do they have a different concept of the Supreme, or that they don't think they become God, or they both, in terms of Brahmavadi and Mayavadi? See?
Well, the Mayavadis think that Krishna is God. They may appear to be devotees. They're using God as a crutch, but eventually they think that God's Maya, just a tool to merge. And the Brahmavadis, as Prabhupada points out, they just think, I'd just rather become merged. It's better than to keep our personal identity. They kind of don't want to keep their personal identity, therefore they want to merge in the Brahman effulgence.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Are we finished? You got a question? Okay, sorry.
Guruji, is not a question, but I just want to tell one katha or story about a guru and a sant, or, you know, bhagat.
You can say that story to your prasadam group, if that's okay. When you have your prasadam, share that group with your group.
Okay.
Shubhavatamaki.
Yeah.